Hello. Hi everybody. Good evening. Good evening and welcome to our fourth episode in the Detour series. Hello everybody, I'm Taruna Seth. I'm the co-founder and navigator-in-chief at Encompass Experiences. We specialize in curating immersive journeys within India and all across the world. Thank you for joining me this evening. In the Detour series, I will be talking to inspirational people, mavericks from different walks of life, travel experts, conscious thought leaders about their life journeys, touching upon their defining detour moments and their inspiring stories. Super excited to be here with you and to share their wisdom with everybody. So let's talk about detour and why is it so relevant. A detour is a deviation from a direct path. Whether it's your life or a road trip, detours are inevitable, right? But what we're most interested to talk about today are the intentional detours that we take, the conscious detours or the decisions that we make in our course. This is our commitment to change and to evolve and to be better than yesterday. Intentional detours in our life require courage, determination, persistence. So without further ado, I'm delighted to have Brooke Hall as an amazing guest today. Originally from California, Brooke's career in hospitality led her from New York City to London and now in Bali, where she currently is celebrating her title as a director of sales and marketing for Capella Ubud, which has been named, drum rolls please, the number one, the best hotel in the world by Travel and Leisure in their 2020 World's Best Awards. Brooke credits her career success to personal commitment to mindfulness and health, which we love, and she's passionate about plant-based eating, and she has her own Instagram feed. It goes by the name of Easy Plant Life. Please follow her for some amazing recipes and hacks. So without further ado, let me bring Brooke in. Hello, Brooke, where are you? There she is.
I'm here.
Hi, Brooke.
How are you?
Great. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. You look beautiful and I love your background. It looks like you're in Bali.
Thank you. We're expecting rain any moment and the networks go haywire. So hopefully we'll be here throughout. How are you doing? Great.
Good. Yeah, great. I was going to try and go outside and do this outside, but it also started raining in Bali. So I am in my villa. Yeah.
All right. So Brooke, first of all, congratulations. I mean, wow, this is incredible. Capella is the best hotel as per Travel and Leisure. That's fantastic. And I must congratulate you for that.
Thank you. We are so humbled and so happy. I mean, I've been saying it for a long time that it's the best hotel in the world, but it's nice to have the accolade from Travel and Leisure, which voted by all the readers around the world and people that have stayed there. Capella Ubud Bali just opened 2 years ago, so it's really exciting to win that kind of accolade so soon.
Absolutely, and we can't wait to visit. As soon as these lockdowns are lifted, I'm there. So you must know I'm coming soon, very soon.
I'm waiting for you.
So Brooke, let's talk about your journey. Now walk us through your life. Like, how did you become this city girl to this, yogi in Bali? How did this happen? How did you land up in London, New York, London, and now in Bali? Walk us through.
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually I started as a country girl. I started in a small town in California, is where I grew up, and went to university in California. And then I think the hospitality industry is what, kind of shot my life across. I've always worked in sales and marketing for hotels and some beautiful hotel brands. So I was lucky enough right out of kind of school to start in hotels and then get an opportunity in New York City in my 20s, which was exciting times, of course. And I just kind of moved fast in my career and ended up with an opportunity in London. Took that, and again, just kind of went full speed ahead until I eventually landed here in Bali just 8 months ago. So it's all been kind of one long journey. I've sadly moved farther and farther away from my mother in California, but I'm at least providing some great holiday
You're
spots
kind
for
of making it, you're kind of making it around the world from the Pacific, from the other side. So it's
Exactly.
like a
I'll
full
come back.
circle almost.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you say, Brooke? So what would you say was a detour moment in life when, you had this aha moment and when you decided to tread on this path?
It's a good question. I was thinking about it in advance of this, because I think it's such a good series and a good idea and conversation starter. I think one of my detours, being, honest and personal, was a breakup, which I think as a woman sometimes can be. And it was while I was in London, a relationship ended, and it left me kind of time to figure out again who I was. Kind of, I had been in a relationship for a really long time, a really serious one, and it was time for me to get my own flat and figure out if I was going to stay in London or leave and just kind of figure out who I was again. So I think that was a big moment where I could have kind of gone home, but I stayed in London and decided to kind of figure it out. And then another moment, I think, was a couple years ago when I was in Bali for the first time ever. It was just about 2 summers ago, and I was here and I was staying up in the jungle in Ubud, and I just felt like this was somewhere I needed to be. And lucky enough, I was in a place in my life where I could start kind of following that dream. So it took a little while. It didn't happen right overnight, but I got here in the end. So I think those were some key moments, just deciding to stay in London and the deciding to move to Bali.
That sounds incredible. Brooke, your screen's kind of freezing a bit. Do you want to move your phone slightly? Because I can't really see you clearly.
Where shall I move it? Should I come closer? Can you see me now?
Okay. Yeah, it just keeps freezing, but that's fine. We can hear you clearly, so that's fine.
Okay.
So California, New York, London, Bali. It kind of sounds like your own version of Eat, Love, Pray. It's like everybody's seen that movie, and it kind of just sounds like that, right? So walk us through each of these destinations and what each of these destinations gave you personally, and how did each of these places on the planet help you transform and evolve into the person you are today?
I love that question too. And I think everywhere you live can be a kind of chapter of your life, right? And every experience. And I think, California, that's my roots, that's my soul, that's where I came from, that's who made me. So California is really where I would always kind of call home. Living in New York City in my 20s, I mean, that was all a blur. If I had to name that chapter, I would call it work hard, play hard. I mean, I worked probably 15-hour days every day. I moved really fast in my career. It's probably where I kind of made my name, a name for myself in the industry. I also drank and partied and didn't sleep very much, and it all kind of went by quickly. And then I think London is where I would call that, adulting, like finally became an adult and was in a relationship and was had some bigger jobs, leading bigger teams, and needed to be a lot of things to a lot of people. So I needed to stop partying so much, just a little less, and focus on my career and just being a little bit more of a responsible person and taking care of a lot of people. And I think Bali chapter is all about me. It's just about me kind of figuring out exactly who I am and what I need. I came here, single, and ready to kind of find my next adventure. So this chapter is all about me. And of course, Capella Ubud, which is pretty special.
Yes. It sounds incredible. It's unbelievable how, you know, the trajectory of a lot of people around the world, whether you're from California, whether you come from India, or you come from Europe. I mean, it kind of, you know, it kind of goes along the same trajectory. Like 20s is all about finding yourself. And now here we are, you know, in Bali. And, you know, we all want to go as we get a little older, and then we want to get more deep and get aligned with what truly our North Star is. And it's all about finding ourselves, right? And you said it so beautifully. And I hope that you find in Bali what you're there for. Of course, Ubud being one of your projects there, and just being there. And so you're an expat in Bali, Brooke. And Bali has been this magnet for like people from, you know, from who want to shun like city life and come there from the big city life and there and look for like arts, cultures, you know, chasing amazing sunsets. It's a more kind of laid back lifestyle. Like, how has it all translated for you? There happens to be really interesting kind of characters, you know, floating around in Bali from all across the world, right? So I visited Bali literally like 10 years ago. I mean, how would you say the Bali scene has evolved from like a decade ago? Like, how is it now? Obviously, not during the COVID period. Let's say like we're in 2021. And how has it kind of evolved?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't here in Bali 10 years ago. So I'm not sure how it compares. But I think Bali is, it's everything I
When did you visit Bali? You visited recently, though.
Just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It was only a couple years that I had been coming on holiday.
Oh, okay.
And then just moved here, yeah, this year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Bali is, I think, it's everything you want it to be. You know, there are still a bunch of hippies and yogis and, you know, interesting characters, which keeps it fun. But there are also a lot more people than I expected that have very, you know, serious, amazing careers. A lot of people that kind of live half the time in Bali and half the time in big cities. People that are digital nomads that are running big businesses and have decided that Bali is a better, you know, kind of home base than other places because the cost of living is still extremely low here, which is fantastic. You know, you're surrounded by nature.
Brooke, sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Brooke, do you wanna like disconnect and come back on again? Because you know,
yeah,
you're a bit fuzzy.
Sorry.
I can't really see you. So let's try. I mean, I'm here. If you can just disconnect and come back. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're just waiting for Brooke to join back in. There's a bit of a network issue. It seems it's raining in Bali as well. I mean, it's supposed to rain here in Delhi. So far, so good. But yeah, so whether you're in Delhi or in Bali, the connection may just drop anytime. It's monsoon season in Delhi. So we're gonna get her right back.
Any better?
Yes, it's marginally better. Yeah. All right.
We're very far away from each other.
Yes. So Brooke, you were saying like Bali is like this hub of all these digital nomads. And I believe like a lot of travel bloggers and photographers, they've made Bali their home and everybody's kind of working from, it's like the dream. It's like the dream for most millennials, right? They want to be in Bali and work out of Bali. So, and you're living the dream.
It is. And yeah, and that is absolutely true. But you also, you know, you're meeting these people that are investment bankers and lawyers and psychologists and people that have just decided, especially with COVID, that it's better to be riding this out here in Bali than anywhere else. So yeah, it's been interesting, but it's been amazing, you know, and the lifestyle that you can live here and, you know, be in nature and be connected to the culture and meet people from all over the world and travel around Southeast Asia. It's definitely a great spot to be.
Absolutely. So Brooke, was kind of the, you know, you're passionate about mindfulness and health. Now, how has that awareness led you to transform both, personally and professionally? Was it kind of was this a conscious detour, or was it something that kind of just happened when you landed in Bali, or this was something you were already on this journey before you kind of got to Bali?
Yeah, I think Bali was actually more of an end point for me. Really, it started when I was in London. I think, I started going to yoga classes and realizing they were about a bit more than just a workout. I remember one time in a yoga class kind of crying my eyes out at the end and realizing there's a little more to this than just, a sweat. And then I think I consciously started looking more into, chakras and spirituality and mindfulness and, just kind of, I took a meditation course and trying to find things, because just every little thing that I did around this kind of mindfulness, it just felt good and it felt better. And it felt, my friends started telling me that I was calming down and that I was seeming a little more relaxed than I used to be and happier. And I think in my career, being a leader and leading teams, being a mindful leader is about being present and being aware, and those kind of things you can take into your career as well. To me, mindfulness is not anything having to do with religion or any kind of hippie stuff. It's just about being present and stopping to breathe every once in a while and realize what's working for you in your life and what's not. So I definitely kind of dove into all of this because it was starting to just feel really good. And the more I did and the more I meditated and did yoga and was a little more conscious, the better I felt, and good things have happened.
It's amazing you say that, though. I mean, I was born and raised in India, but I kind of found yoga later in life, right? So, and very recently, as recent as in this lockdown period, is when I discovered meditation. So it's been an
I
incredible
love
journey
that.
for me personally as well. And it's amazing that your friends thought that you have, you calm down and you kind of look, feel, I mean, you feel happier yourself, right? You feel more centered. So I mean, absolutely with you. I have felt all of that, and I have had, people tell me the same thing. So it definitely works. I mean, I understand, like, it's not for everybody, but if you do get into it, it's kind of addictive. And
Yeah,
you
and
kind
I
of
think
feel more connected to yourself.
totally. And again, I work in a still in a very kind of corporate environment in general, and work with a lot of, fast-paced, people who are running companies. And you again, even with the most, like, fast-paced lawyer, I can tell you, if you stop for 5 minutes and take a breath and just realize that you're breathing and take a break, you will be more successful in the rest of your day. So yeah, and I think now with COVID, more than ever, we're all kind of like, so I think the more that you can take a step back,
Yeah.
the better.
Absolutely. And it's so important, if you are a leader, to be a mindful leader, because if you're calm, your team's going to be calm. And that translates
Exactly.
to everybody. Like, if you're a homemaker, if you're calm, your family's going to be calm. So I think it's so important,
Exactly.
to be mindful and go on this journey. Like, I would recommend this for everybody. And even more
Me
so
too.
right now, ever than before. All right, I think we lost you again, Brooke. Can you hear me?
Dang, it's looking perfect to me. That's so annoying.
Really? Oh wow, I have no idea why. Okay, never mind. Maybe it's me, but hopefully the okay, as long as everybody
You
else can
look
see you.
great.
Okay, great. So to you, well, you keep going and coming. But so tell me, Brooke, so obviously once you're on this a journey, what's your take on mindful eating? Now tell us about your journey towards veganism and how it's transformed you.
So for me, yeah, as I became just a little more conscious and a little more, aware of what I was putting into my body, again, just slowed down a little bit and stopped to think about what I was feeding my body. I kind of slowly started eating less meat and, yeah, just eating less kind of processed foods. And yeah, about 3 years ago, I made the decision to go completely vegan. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, I really truly feel, I mean, I've lost a lot of weight. I feel really strong and healthy. And again, I do, it's made me feel more calm. And, you know, I think it's, to me, I really feel like when you're, you know, an animal has suffered its whole life, and then you're putting that into your body, it's, you know, it's changing your energy as well. So that's just my personal experience, is that eating just plants has made me a happier, healthier, and more calm person.
Absolutely. So Brooke, even I personally turned vegan last year, and it lasted a couple of months. I'm primarily vegetarian, but I turned vegan, and because you know Indian diets, I would say most Indians are vegetarian, but I mean our diets have a lot of dairy and dairy, milk, eggs. So that, I mean, even if you're vegetarian, most people do eat eggs. I mean, majority who claim to be vegetarian, but they're not purely vegetarian. So I did feel the difference. I mean, I've got to say, like what you said, like I felt stronger, more energetic. I had high level of energies, like you know, through the day. I lost a lot of a ton of weight, so you know, my skin got better. So there is something to it. And you know, earlier I would be like, I don't know if it's for me, but I tried it, and it's I 100% agree with you. I even saw this documentary on Netflix. I think it's called What the Health. And at that kind of, you know, that was like the final nail in the coffin. I was like, this is what we need to do, because you know, it talks about all these athletes and all these you know, professional athletes who are on vegan diets, and they're doing extremely well in their various fields. So you know, I think it's all this talk about, oh, if you're vegan or vegetarian, you don't get all the nutrients. I'm not sure if it kind of stands. So I'm all for plant-based diet.
Great. I love to hear that. I love that. And yeah, I think, you know, a couple tips I love of being in India. Sorry, do you want me to try and reconnect again? Is that working or is it okay?
Yeah, try that one more time. Second, guys, Brooke's gonna come right back on. It's raining in Bali. It's like the similar network issues like we have here in India. So she's not in the US, she's in Bali. So here. All right. Hi, Brooke. Okay, we're just waiting for her to come back on. Yes,
Hello.
there you are.
So we're talking plant-based eating, and I would say just a couple tips from me if you're considering going plant-based. I think, yeah, India is such a good place to do it because you have the best vegetarian food in the world, according to me. The flavors are amazing. And I always say, look, you don't have to go totally vegan. It doesn't have to be a line in the sand, you know? You can just slowly eat less meat or less dairy,
Exactly.
and kind of make those little hacks. Some little tips from me, as I cook a lot of Indian, use tofu instead of paneer. Like a hard tofu works really well as a paneer replacement. And then of course, you know, any kind of a nut milk, like an almond milk or an oat milk or a soy milk, coconut milk instead of the cream works really well. And just, you know, even if you just switch your morning tea to use a coconut milk instead of a dairy milk, you will start feeling the difference, and then you will start feeling better. So my other tip is to kind of educate yourself, like watch some documentaries. There's so many great ones on Netflix right now. And there's so
Absolutely, yeah.
many reasons why being eating plant-based is good for your health. It's good for the planet. It's, you know, there's the animal suffering. Like there's so many reasons. And so once you start educating yourself, just watching some documentaries, reading some books, it's a lot easier to kind of say no to the cheese plate when you have a real kind of reason why.
Yes. No, I totally agree, and I think for us in India, it's actually very, very easy to go vegan. because we do have a lot of options in our regular home cooked meals that we eat. Like we eat a lot of legumes and lentils, and so it's just really easy. I mean, a lot of the stuff we naturally have in our diets, including even turmeric, which is like a superfood now, and you know everybody's yes. been raving about like turmeric for you know to increase one's immunity, and we kind of have been having it all our lives. It's not so, it's like it's all every Indian kitchen has turmeric.
Yes.
Well, I just hope we, I mean, you know, we adapt, you know, all these old age wisdom and actually apply it in our own lives, because it's kind of like, you know, once it becomes a fad in the West, and that's how a lot of, especially the urban, you know, the city folks kind of adopted it. Just, that's how it has been for the last couple of years. Once it's adopted by the West, I mean, a lot of these fads come back in. But yes, I mean, a lot of people who, you know, who believe in Ayurveda and follow Ayurveda, I mean, they'll vouch for everything that you're saying. And it definitely has roots in Ayurveda and like Indian Ayurvedic science and medical science. So absolutely. So Brooke, so moving on. So tell me, what are your top three destinations that you're going to, you know, go to once the lockdowns are lifted? What are the top places on your list?
Oh, well, I'm coming back to India for sure, because you know how much I love it there, and I'm starting to run out of my spices, so I have to do at least once or twice a year to India. And then for me, you know, I think just more of Southeast Asia. I hadn't really seen this part of the world. I had a trip to Vietnam planned. They're actually opening a Capella in Hanoi. So I definitely want to go see that. We're also opening a Capella in Bangkok. So I need to go check that out.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of Asia I haven't seen yet. So unfortunately, I don't know when that's going to be happening. Right now, Indonesia is closed. You can really only travel domestically. But there are a lot of beautiful Indonesian islands that I can explore as well. So for now, I'm very happy to just be here exploring more of Bali.
Amazing. So Brooke, the times that we're currently living in, it's kind of like forced us to see everything through a prism of sustainability, right? Especially so when it comes to travel. The more evolved conscious travelers are more likely to choose a hotel that values sustainability, takes care of their workers, gives back to the community. So there has been a massive shift towards responsible travel. So what is Capella Ubud doing in this regard, and like what are you guys up to?
Yeah, I'm so proud of Capella Ubud. And I always, you know, before I got the chance to work as director of sales and marketing here, I had my eye on it. You know, I knew what a cool property it was. For one, our owner, who is an Indonesian man, he has owned this land that Capella is built on for a long time. And he didn't want to build anything that was going to destroy or change the land. So he brought in Bill Bensley, our architect, and they found a way to build our completely build Capella Ubud without cutting down one tree. So just from the start, that shows you how much he cares and respects, you know, the land in Bali. And then since then, there's a huge amount of what we do is given back to the local village. It's called Kaliki Village in Ubud. A lot of our staff lives in the village, and their parents are there. So we do a lot of kind of outreach back to the village. We pay for English classes for children. We do a lot of trash pickup. So there's a huge amount that goes into the you know, local community. And then I think the fact that Capella Ubud has remained open throughout this pandemic is also something that was really important for our owners. And they're obviously losing a lot of money every month, but they didn't want our staff to lose their jobs. You know, we have over 130 employees. Absolutely. For only 23 tents. So it's a lot of people that would have been out of work. Mm-hmm. And they've made that decision to keep the hotel open and keep our team, you know, employed. So I think that's been a really important and really amazing thing that Capella Ubud has done as well.
That's incredible, Brooke, because, I mean, everywhere else, I mean, especially, you know, people working in the hospitality sector are really suffering. I was reading an article in New York Times about a lot of hotels in Bali, and, you know, a lot of their staff has had to go back to their villages, and go back to traditional, methods of livelihood, like fishing, and a lot of unemployment, like everywhere in India, Bali, all over the world. So this is incredible that you guys stayed open throughout this pandemic and supporting, your staff and supporting the community. So kudos to you guys. That's absolutely amazing what you guys did.
Thanks.
Hey, are you still there? Okay. Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, I see you now. So you're there. All right. So what are your plans going forward, Brooke, say in the next 5 years? Any intentional detours coming along? What are your plans?
Oh, gosh. I think, like, if this year has taught us anything, is that you cannot plan for anything. And I'm very happy. I see a lot of Bali in my future. I have no plans to go anywhere anytime soon. But again, I'm all about kind of listening to the universe and taking opportunities that are in front of you and going with the flow. So who knows what the world's going to look like in the next couple of years, but I will be here waiting for you to come visit me.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a big lesson in kind of, being in the moment and enjoying where you're at, in the moment you are right now and in life, because we literally don't know what's going to happen next, right? And this has been a big lesson. We can plan as much as we want, but you know what? There's always a detour and plans change, and that's life. So, I mean, very well said. And that's definitely one of the biggest learnings. So speaking of learnings, now you have lived, you're a global citizen, Brooke. You've lived like all over the world. You've lived in all continents. You've lived in 3 continents and you've interacted with people from all walks of life. I mean, what has been your biggest learning, you would say? I mean, other than what obviously COVID taught all of us about being in the moment, but what has been, one of your learnings that you've kind of prescribed to over the years?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think it's just that anywhere you go in the world, no matter where you are or how people look or what the culture is, like, we're all human and we're all the same. I feel that way. I think no matter where I am and who I'm talking to, people, they want to feel love. They want to have a laugh. They want to take care of their families. And no matter where you are in the world or, who you're with, those kind of things ring true to me. In my experience, I think no matter where I go, I find great people that I can connect with. So for me, it's about humans and that there are good people all over the world.
That's so well said, Brooke. I mean, that's amazing. And you're so right. No matter where you go, I mean, the intrinsic human nature is the same. You can be anywhere, any city, any country of the world. I mean, your intrinsic human nature remains the same, and you can always connect to people. And that kind of shows that at the end of the day, we're all connected, and there is, this underlying thread of oneness that binds all of us. And that's what it's all about, right? And I think that's the reason why we do what we do. And, I mean, it's all about end of the day when we, when people travel, it just opens up your eyes and, you get to experience different cultures. You get to connect, you get to reconnect with ourselves. I think that's kind of the crux of the reason why is it that we do what we do. So, I mean, absolutely. And 100%. And I cannot wait to, travel to Bali and hopefully in early 2021. And we're definitely going to make that retreat happen very soon, with Encompass, a mindfulness retreat. And we're all for it. And we look forward to that.
Thank you. And I'm so excited. It's such a pleasure working with you and your team. And I know that we can create some really amazing experiences together for your clients. And can't wait to connect with you guys again in person, hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. So, till then we can dream of Bali, but hopefully soon. And how they say, we've got to manifest it. So, keep dreaming and we shall be there soon. And thank you so much, Brooke, for your time. And it's been
thank
lovely
you.
Chatting
Sorry
with you.
Sorry for the connection. Bali Wi-Fi.
No worries. And I'm going to definitely try some of your vegan recipes. I mean, we do have,
yes,
I have a lot of Indian
easy
food,
plant life.
But I mean, but I love... Absolutely. Easy plant life. Absolutely. Guys, check her out. I mean, some amazing and very easy hacks too, some of them. So I've definitely tried a few. So I'm going to continue following you on that. And thank you, Brooke. And we'll catch up soon. Thanks.
Great. Have a great weekend. Bye.
All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. This is Detour Series. Sorry, the connection was a bit off, slightly off, but we could hear Brooke. Thank you for tuning in. And we're here live every Friday at 5 o'clock. And we speak to, people from different walks of life, travel experts, conscious thought leaders. The whole idea is to learn from them and, talk about their detour moments in their life that got them to the point where they're at. And basically just share the wisdom and learn from each other. That's the whole point of this. Thank you for tuning in. And yes, Brooke is from Capella Ubud. She represents Capella Ubud, which has been voted the best hotel in the world by Travel and Leisure. And we are hoping soon, as the lockdowns get lifted, we're planning a retreat there very soon. So watch this space. If you are interested to join us on this retreat, do write us in, DM me, or you can email us at connect@goencompass.in. And and we'll take it from there. Thanks for joining in, guys. And see you next Friday. Bye.